ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16. It's the beginning of the chapter, verses, texts 1 through 4. There's a little intro. It's King Chitraketu meets the Supreme Lord. As related in this chapter, Chitraketu was able to talk with his dead son and hear from him the truth of life. When Chitraketu was appeased, the great sage Narad gave him a mantra, and by chanting this mantra, Chitraketu found shelter at the lotus feet of Sangharshan. The living entity is eternal. Thus, he has neither birth nor death. Na hanyate hanyamane sharire. According to the reactions of one's fruitive activities, one takes birth in various species of life amongst the birds, beasts, trees, human beings, demigods, and so on, thus rotating through various bodies. For a certain period of time, one receives a particular type of body as son or father in a false relationship. All our relationships in this material world with friends, relatives, or enemies consists of duality, in which one feels happy and distressed, and on the basis of illusion. The living entity is actually a spiritual soul who is part and parcel of God and has nothing to do with relationships in the world of duality. Therefore, Narad Muni advised Chitraketu not to lament for his so-called dead son. After hearing instructions from their dead child, Chitraketu and his wife could understand that all relationships in this material world are causes of misery. The queens who had administered poisons to the son of Kritadyuti were very much ashamed. They atoned for the sinful act of killing a child and gave up their aspirations to have sons. Thereafter, Narad Muni chanted prayers to Narayan, who exists as Chaturvyuha, and instructed Chitraketu about the Supreme Lord, who creates, maintains, and annihilates everything, and who is the master of the material nature. After instructing King Chitraketu in this way, he returned to Brahmalok. These instructions about the absolute truth are called Mahavidya. After being initiated by Narad Muni, Chitraketu chanted the Mahavidya, and after 1 week, he attained the presence of Lord Sangharshan, who was surrounded by the four Kumaras. The Lord was nicely dressed in bluish garments with a helmet and ornaments of gold. His face appeared very happy. In the presence of Lord Sangharshan, Chitraketu offered his obeisances and began to offer prayers. In his prayers, Chitraketu said that millions of universes rest in the pores of Sangharshan, who is limitless, having no beginning and end. The Lord is well known to the devotees for his eternity. The difference between worshipping the Lord and worshipping the demigods is that the worshipper of the Lord also becomes eternal, whereas whatever benedictions one can get from the demigods are impermanent. Unless one becomes a devotee, one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After Chitraketu finished his prayers, the unlimited Supreme Lord explained knowledge of himself to Chitraketu. Which verse is on the board? Which number? Jiva Uvacha, the first line? Okay, that's text 4. I'll read text 1, 2, 3 first. Just the English. Text 1. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King Parikit, by his mystic power, the great sage Narad brought the dead son into the vision of all the lamenting relatives and then spoke as follows." Sri Narad Muni, text 2. Sri Narad Muni said, "O living entity, all good fortune unto you. Just see your father and mother. All your friends and relatives are overwhelmed with grief because of your passing away." Text 3. "Because you died untimely, the balance of your lifetime still remains. Therefore, you may re-enter your body and enjoy the remainder of your life surrounded by your friends and relatives. Accept the royal throne and all the opulences given by your father." Text 4. Jiva Uvacha. Kashmin. Janmani. Ami. Mayam. Pitara. Matara. Abhavan. Karmabhi. Brahmyamanasya Devatiryak Nri Yonishu Jiva Uvacha Kasmin Janmanyami Mahayan Pitaro Mataro Bhavan Karmabhi Brahmyamanasya Devatiryanyonishu Jiva Uvacha Kashmin Janmanyam Ami Mayam Pitaro Mataro Bhavan Karmabhi Brahmyamanasya Devatiryanyonishu. Anyone? Jiva Uvacha Kasmin Janmanyami Mayam Pitaro Mataro Bhavan Karmabhi Brahma Manasya Devatiryanyonishu. Jiva Uvacha. The living entity said, Kashmin, in which, Janmani, birth, Ami, all those, Mahayam, to me, Pitara, fathers, Matara, mothers, Abhavan, were, Karmabhi, by the results of fruitive actions. Pramyamanasya, who am wandering, Deva Tiryat, of the demigods and the lower animals, Nri, and of human species, Yonishu, in the wombs. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. By the mystic power of Narad Muni, the living entity re-entered his dead body for a short time and spoke in a reply to Narad Muni's request. He said, according to the results of my fruitive activities, I, the living being, transmigrate from one body to another, sometimes going to the species of the demigods, sometimes to the species of lower animals, sometimes amongst the vegetables, and sometimes to the human species. Therefore, in which birth were these my mother and father? No one is actually my mother and father. How can I accept these two as my parents? Srila Prabhupada comments. Here, it is made clear that the living entity that the living being enters a material body that is like a machine created by the five gross elements of material nature: earth, water, air, fire, and sky. And the three subtle elements: mind, intelligence, and ego. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, there are two separate identities called the inferior and superior natures, which both belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to the results of a living entity's fruitive actions, he is forced to enter the material elements in different types of bodies. This time, the living entity was supposed to have been the son of Maharaj Chitraketu and Queen Kritadyuti, because according to the laws of nature, he had entered a body made by the king and queen. Actually, however, he was not their son. The living entity is the son of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because he wants to enjoy this material world, the Supreme Lord gives him a chance to enter various bodies. The living entity has no true relationship with the material body he gets from his material father and mother. He is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, but he is allowed to go through different bodies. The body created by the so-called father and mother actually has nothing to do with its so-called creators. Therefore, the living entity flatly denied that Maharaj Chitraketu and his wife were his father and mother. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshushun Miditam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Pandantikam. Jiva Uvacha Kashmin Janmanyami Mayan Pitaro Mataro Bhavan Karmabhi Brahmyamanasya Deva Tiryan Ne Jonishu. By the mystic power of Narad Muni, the living entity re-entered his dead body for a short time and spoke in reply to Narad Muni's request. He said, according to the results of my fruitive activities, I, the living being, transmigrates from one body to another, sometimes going to the species of the demigods, sometimes to the species of lower animals, sometimes among the vegetables, and sometimes in the human species. Therefore, in which birth were these my mother and father? No one is actually my mother and father. How can I accept these two people as my parents? Wow, shocking, isn't it? Actually, when I was in the ICU, my father had a heart attack. And I was in the ICU, my mother was with him. We have a big family, so she was allowed to be there, but we were allowed to go in one at a time. I so happened to be in England at the time. I went in to the room. And my father looked at me. And he turned to my mother and he said, "Who's that? Who is it? Who is this?" "Hey, wait a second, it's me." He kept asking my mother, "Who is this?" He didn't know who I was. And it was a little shocking. You know, it's like, hey, come on. But actually, we see from the scriptures, although he was out of it, obviously, but it was the real thing. He didn't know that body at the time. It was just an accident of his consciousness at the time, but it was the reality, because he didn't know me. And that's the situation here. There's been a long pastime with Chitraketu. He wanted a child, he was very anxious, he had millions of wives. Finally, his main wife conceived by the arrangement. The child came, very happy, in ecstasy. All the other wives were envious, they didn't have a son. They poisoned him and he left the body and everyone freaked out. So Narad Muni comes, he wants to teach them a lesson. He wants to show them the reality, what's the real thing. So by his mystic potency, by his power, he called the living entity back, this boy who had entered that, this entity who had entered that body of that boy. He said, "Look, these are all your people. They're all in anxiety. And as you heard," he said, "who are these people? Which birth? Because the living entity is traveling through millions of births. Sometimes demigod, sometimes animal, vegetable even. 8,400,000 species of life. The living entity is moving through all these species. And in all of those species, there's parents, mother and father. And when they're in that actual situation, we know, because we're in that situation, there's lots of attachment. My mother, my father, my son, my daughter. And there's very tight, and that situation tightens the knot of material life. And it's material. Krishna says in Gita, "Mamai vamsha jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana." That's the real situation. That we are parts and parcels of Krishna. He's our father. He's the real father. Actually, he's the only father. And this, the rest of this, as Prabhupada explains, is just an arrangement. It's just an arrangement because somehow or other we were not satisfied. We wanted something different. We wanted to actually be him. We wanted to take his place. And so, kind and compassionate as he is, he made the arrangement. Two natures, internal and external. But both are his natures, the Lord. So the external energy, we're not the external energy. We're just trying to take advantage of that. Trying to take advantage of the material nature, which is his nature. And once we come here, once we come into this situation, it's very, very difficult. Very, very difficult for us to cross back over. Mama Maya Duratya, Krishna says. It's my nature. And because it's his nature, how can you overcome? How can you cross over without his sanction, without his mercy, without his love? And he loves. But we have our desires. We have our desires. And because love is not something which is forced, and because we are parts and parcels of the Lord, we also have that speck of independence. And that's what gets us in trouble. That speck of independence that we have is what causes our unhappiness. It takes us out of our true nature. Because our true nature is Sat-Chit Ananda. That's our true nature. But here we don't find that. We're not in that situation. We don't... the bodies that we have are temporary. The little boy died. It wasn't a natural death, he was poisoned. But he died. Then we find ourselves in situations where we get sick. We're not happy when we're sick. We get old. The body gets old. We used to be very fit and we could do so many things. And even when you get old, you still think you can do it. You still think you can do so many things. And then you climb the stairs and... So this is not our true situation. It's a false idea. It's a false identity. And it's only one of millions of identities that we have. So this is the lesson that Narad Muni, by his grace, is trying to teach. He's teaching Chitraketu, but it's for our benefit. It's for everyone's benefit. Bhagavatam is for everyone. So, of course, that's not an excuse. I should just, because sometimes devotees, they get into a space where it becomes a little impersonal. They say, well, that's not my family. I'm a devotee. Those people are not my family. But it's not like that. We still, because we have these bodies, we still have duties. We still owe duties to our parents in this life. They're our parents in this life, and so we owe them duty of care and respect, etc., even if they're not on the same path that we are on. So, but that universal brotherhood that sometimes you hear people talking about, that's only possible for devotees who understand that the Supreme Lord is the Father of all the living entities. And because He's the Father of all living entities, then yes, we're all a universal family. And that's where the darshan, the sama darshan, comes from, that Krishna talks about in the Gita. That someone who knows that truth, he can see the same, you know, he can see the cow, the elephant, the person, he can see them all on the same level, because they're all jivas. The external body is not important. It's just a situation that's happening in that particular moment, in that particular time. But actually, we're all sons and daughters of Krishna. And Prabhupada makes that clear. The living entity is the son. He doesn't say daughter, but we can assume. The living entity is the son of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but because he wants to enjoy in this material world, the Lord gives him that opportunity, that facility. What a mistake we made. What a unfortunate mistake. But it's okay. Somehow or other, by the mercy of the devotees, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we got an opportunity, a better opportunity, right? Krishna made that opportunity for us because of our desire. Now, develop the desire to return back home to Krishna. Because it's all dependent on our desire, right? It's not that if you just, you know, join in the association of devotees, it's not going to happen automatically. The desire has to be there. You have to be desiring that, because Krishna is fulfilling the desires of the living entity, the real desire in the heart. So if we don't develop that, if we don't mature it, then, and then that maturation happens in the association of devotees, of course. That's why we're in the association of devotees. Not that we just sit back in that association, but we use that association to mature our desire to re-establish our proper relationship with the Supreme Lord. Then we'll go back to Him. At the end of this life, if we have that strong lolyam, if we have it, it'll happen. But it's guaranteed now, because nothing is lost. Whatever we do in this line is not lost. And all the relationships that we develop in this line, in devotional service, that's not lost, because they're eternal. So, you know, like it or not, you know, you might end up back in the spiritual world with whomever. Sometimes, you know, we have different, in these bodies, we have different likes and dislikes, you know. We have some devotees that we don't appreciate more than others that we do. But if we're all on the same path and we all end up in this, we'll end up in the same place. You know, it's like, what, you're here? And he's probably thinking the same thing. Any questions? Comments? Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Oh, wait a second. We have a...
Hare Krishna. In translation to verse 5, it says, verse 3, because you died untimely, The balance of your lifetime still remains. So sometimes someone dies untimely, we often hear, well, it was due to his karma, he had it coming. That's how he died, that it was untimely. So what does it mean? The balance of your lifetime remains, if it's karma.
Yeah, it's a good question. It did occur to me when I read it. Because generally our understanding is that whatever happens to us is due to our karma. And so that little child was poisoned by his mother's, they were his mother's, not birth mother, but the king's wives. He was poisoned by his mother's. And so if we follow the normal understanding, then, you know, that was supposed to happen to him. But Narad here is saying he died untimely. When someone has an accident, it's untimely, isn't it? It's also untimely. Someone has an accident, car accident, they die. It's taken as untimely, but we understand that actually it was due. So I don't know why he said like that. I'm not really clear on it. But I'm, you know, maybe you know the answer, you can tell us.
But we hear also that it said sometimes if you die untimely, like accidents, you can take a ghost body for the remainder of your life that you had. But other times we hear that, it's like Vasudev, when he was instructing Kamsa, King Kamsa, and he gave the example of how the living entity, he leaves one body and enters another body. When the time is right, this is like a caterpillar. He transfers himself from one branch to another. When when his back feet are firmly secure on the branch, then he stretches out his front legs and goes to another branch. And then he brings the other legs. So it's like that. He said the body is all, when the body is prepared, the next womb is prepared, then the living entity
can move on.
Get into that. So you get these two kinds of things happening.
Yeah, that sounds...
That one sounds is untimely, there is no, and the other one is nothing. It doesn't happen until your next body is there ready to enter into.
And if he had already entered another body, then how could Narada have called him back, right? If he had already entered another body, then how could Narada call him back? He must have been there somewhere in the ether, the mind, intelligence and force ego, that the subtle body, because it's the external body which dies, the earth, water, fire, air and ether, that's what dies. But the mind, intelligence and force ego, that's the part which moves on, right? That's the subtle body. Yeah. So that ghostly area, that area where those living entities have those ghostly bodies, that must be the answer. But I'm not clear on it personally. We just have time for one. We have 2 minutes, according to this note by my watch.
Hare Krishna. As this one dies and he forgets everything, so is this happens with everyone else? As soon as one dies, he forgets his past life and does not remember anything of the past.
Can you come closer? I can't really understand what you're saying, sorry.
As this boy dying and he forgets everything about it past, about past. So is this the case with everyone else? As soon as one dies, he forgets the past, about the parents and everything else. The past memories.
Yes, yes. Actually, when one's in the womb, when it's described that when the living entity's in the womb, he actually remembers everything. And he prays. He prays to the Supreme Lord, I won't do it again, please. He's praying like that. But as soon as that trauma of birth, it's all gone. The trauma of birth makes the living entity forget all the past, everything. But it's still there somewhere, because the mind intelligence in the subtle form, that mind intelligence and false ego is what's carrying the living entity through those different bodies. So it's there somewhere, but we can't, you know, we forget it. And it's described in the Bhagavatam that it's the trauma of the birth which makes the living entity forget all that. Whereas while he's in the womb, he actually remembers that stuff and remembers those horrors. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.